Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 19 today. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, an oracle. This man declared to Ithiel and Ukal, I am the most ignorant of men. I do not have a man's understanding. Now, there's a guy who inspires confidence, huh? Because what he is saying is, I'm too stupid to be a human, and I don't have any common sense. He's being honest anyway. It's how he sees himself in light of spending time with God. See, when you spend time with God, reality is you'll become smart. But you won't think you're smart because you've just spent time with the all-wise, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Verse 3, I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. As he spent time with God, he understood how little he knew about God. He may have a lot of education, but it really didn't amount to much. Maybe by the world's standards, he was educated, but he was lacking in what was important. The more you study God's word, the better you know God. However, since God is infinite, the more you know him, the more you realize that there's a lot about him that you don't know. Verse 4, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and the name of his son? Tell me if you know. One thing that showcases the greatness of God is his creation. The size and the complexity of creation shows us how big and how intelligent God is. Notice verse 4 again. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? No one. No one except God. God is the only one who's done that, and he's much bigger than us. God has been out there at the very edge of the universe where no man has ever seen, let alone traveled to, or ever will. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? How big is God? Big enough to control the wind. When you see a flag flapping in the breeze, it is because God has released some wind in your area. You say, well, there are natural explanations for wind. True. But remember, God controls those things as well. They are the formula that he follows to create wind, where and when he wants it. Verse 4 again, who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? God is the one who contains or releases water. God is in control of clouds and the number of drops of rain that come from them. God is also in control of the oceans and seas and lakes and rivers. They will never go beyond the point that he wants them to. So if we want them to pull up short, then we must petition God, because he's the one who's in control of them. Again, verse 4, who has established all the ends of the earth? If God contains the ocean waves and the sea level, then by default he also determines the size of the continents and islands around the world. And that's what this is talking about. And it goes on to say, what is his name and the name of his son? Tell me if you know. Meaning this, who can possibly comprehend a God as big as God? Who can figure out a God who is 100% here and 100% everywhere, including the edge of the universe at the exact same time? Who can possibly understand a God that is so powerful, intelligent, and mysterious? We can't, not completely, because that would make us as smart as God. Verse 5, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. We can know God somewhat by his creation, and we can know him in a deeper way through his word. Every word in this book, the Bible, is literally God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. It is his revelation of himself to us. It is flawless. You will never regret believing and standing up for and building your life on every word in this book. It is 100% pure truth. 6, which is why 6 says what it does. Look at it. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. God's word is sufficient. He has said enough. When it comes to spiritual issues, meaning correct beliefs, correct words, acts, attitudes, choices, responses, God in his word shows us the way. It's not right to relabel anything God has already labeled. It's not right to change the meaning of anything God has said. It is not right to take away or add to anything that God has said. 7. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. The guy was humble and wiser than he realizes. He's smart enough to know that he can't count on himself to do the correct thing. He's smart enough to know that if he's going to act the way God wants him to act, then he'll need the grace of God to do it. People lie sometimes in order to avoid trouble. They lie sometimes when they feel pressure. Lying in times like that is a powerful temptation, so he prays to God Almighty for the strength to stand firm. 8. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. See, he doesn't trust himself. That's another sign that he's pretty smart. He knows that if he has it too good or too bad, he might let down his guard and sin. It's easy to forget God when times are good. It's easy to panic and bail out on God when times are hard. The key is to build up your relationship with God right now, so that sort of thing is less likely to happen. Verse 10, do not slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you, and you will pay for it. Common sense and common decency. That's all this is. Do not insult someone behind their back. If you do, then the one you talk to may tell the person who you insulted, and then he'll come looking for you. If someone has done something wrong, correct them to their face. Do not insult them behind their backs. God doesn't talk about us behind our backs. He corrects us by the Holy Spirit, who makes us feel guilty when we do wrong. He's very straightforward. He doesn't go around gossiping about us when we do something wrong. You know, talking to the angels about us behind our back or something like that. Verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Rebellion in children was never an option back in Old Testament days. It broke the fifth commandment. It's not an option today either. It still breaks the fifth commandment. But it was a capital crime in Israel. And today, people, and even Christian psychologists, talk about it as if it's normal or to be expected. Not to God it isn't normal. Not to God it isn't to be expected. It's still sin today, as much as it has ever been. Children can disagree with their parents, but they better do it in a respectful way. And they need to obey their parents, whether they agree or not, unless their parents tell them to do something that is sinful. Verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. People who haven't repented and received Christ and yet are pure in their own eyes and yet feel no guilt over their sin and no shame over their sin are in a very dangerous spot. They're like a person with a deadly disease growing out of control but undetected. If they don't wake up to their need for forgiveness through Christ, it's going to send them to hell. Last part of verse 15. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. Hell is never full, because that's what this is talking about. In verse 16, where it says the grave, it actually means hell. Hell is never full. Hell never puts up a no vacancy sign. That's why every Christian needs to do their part to help get out the word of God about Jesus. Hell is never full. But if a person receives Christ, then at least it won't get that soul. Last part of verse 15. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. Not being satisfied, always wanting more, needing something new to tickle us indicates that a person's walk with Christ isn't what it should be. No one can be content unless they are fellowshipping with God through Jesus Christ. Look at 15 again. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. A leech has a suction cup on one end of its body and a mouth with sharp teeth on the other end. You see, it attaches itself to his victim and then it cuts the victim's body and sucks its blood. A leech bites a person and hangs on while it drinks the person's blood. Some people are like leeches. They always want something. And sometimes try to take what belongs to others. They make constant demands, like a leech. What is yours is mine. But if we want to be like Jesus, then we must not think about what we can get from others, but rather what we can do for others. Last part of verse 15. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. Fire always wants to burn more things. Fire never rejects fuel. It lives to consume. That's why it exists, to consume. And greedy people are never satisfied either. They live to consume. They are like fire. 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. God is warning of the terrible end of one who does not respect their parents. Now, disagreements are inevitable, but they should be respectful disagreements at all times. 18. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand, the way of an eagle in the sky. An eagle does not struggle, flapping its wings. It seems to soar without effort. And the writer couldn't figure out how something so amazing could be done with so little effort. 19 again. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock. And it's the same with a snake. Same thing. They move quickly, and they do it without legs. How can that happen? The way of the eagle in the sky, the way of the snake on the rock, the way of a ship on the high seas. A good captain makes handling a ship look easy, I should say. When a person has trained hard to learn a skill, they make what they do look easy, but it isn't. See, there's no victory without a battle. There's no becoming an expert without a lot of effort. Finally, in verse 19, and the way of a man with a maiden. He didn't understand the way of a man with a lady. And that's because an average normal male can sometimes act quite strange around a female that he likes, especially. Well, we'll pick it up in verse 20 next time.